We are back. How you doing, everybody? 7:08 here on a Monday morning. J.R. Zimmer and Hammer with you. Short work week ahead for those of you who are, deemed essential or working from home. Friday, of course, Good Friday. This is the first, official long weekend of the year because Family Day's holiday for most people, but not everybody. But Easter weekend, of course, straight ahead would have been actually this would be a super long weekend, right? Because Friday and Monday would have been off days for school. But anyway, regardless, we are here is where we're at to start the new work week. Hope you had a good weekend. Certainly for some, more than others, might have run out of now your favorite TV shows, the ones that came out recently. You probably finished binging those. For me, finished off Ozark last night, season 3. So now I'm open to ideas. Quiet. Open to ideas for, I tell you what, my family's in a little bit of a sweet spot where we were watching one episode of a show per night to kind of wrap up the night. So about 9:30 or so, it's like, okay, let's settle in. So this is what we did with Ozark. Now we went two episodes Friday night, two Peter. Episodes Saturday, finished off one episode last night. So now all done. So now I'm looking for a new idea for, and listen, my wife and my daughter have seen most things. So if there's something out there, like some British crime drama that's got a season or two that's really good, you know, I'm not talking about stuff that everybody's watched. I'm talking about stuff that might be a little off the beaten track. If you've got a recommendation for me and everybody listening right now that you really, really liked, let me know. You can text me at 12-1200. That's
have
the
you guys,
easiest way.
Have you guys watched any of Shameless?
Yes, watched the entire season of Shameless. That was really hard to do because we watched it in a short amount of time, and I got tired of it. Okay. Have not watched a lick of the latest season, though.
Yeah.
That was just really
that does not
great.
Sound like a ringing endorsement. I got really tired of it.
Yeah, well, because my wife wanted to watch so much in such a small amount of time. For me, I get bored. It's done. I'm finished with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very good.
Yeah, it was a recommendation on Friday. We did a two-hour video call. First time I've done this in my life, and I'll give what you just mentioned. Greg and Steph Hamry, they called us, and we were talking and chatting and got into the old recommendations, and we were finishing up Ozark as well. Ended up watching very well written, right? But would you call it intense, Hammer? Shameless? It's just a interesting family dynamic, right? It's an interesting family dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I would call it intense. But you just feel bad for these people because they make the wrong choice almost every single time.
If they made the right choice, there wouldn't be a show.
No. Exactly.
But sometimes you want to see the right. Yeah. Just come on. Use your brains a little bit here.
No.
And there's some smart kids in this show, too.
JR, what was the family feeling or summary of when you finish up Ozark? Like, and I put a little Twitter poll out there. Was it awesome? Was it solid, which means okay? Or was it disappointing?
Keep it general.
Yeah, no, we are. Yeah, okay. It's just a rating. We're not giving you any of the breakdown.
Give it that way. We've already been talking about brother-in-laws and REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, I don't think that mentioning that REO Chipwagon was on the show was ruined it for you. They were on for about 10 minutes on one of the episodes. I would say that for me, I would say of your rating, I would give it solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly a good twist, good cliffhanger at the end of the final scene of the final episode. So I have no idea when it's going to be back again. Is it a full year? I'm guessing. Well, there's nothing being filmed right now.
Is now two?
We're going to go into, this is going to be one of the other fallouts from the world we live in right now. Like when this all comes to an end and we can go back to movie theaters and watching TV shows at our leisure, not just because that's all there is to do. What is there going to be able to watch? Because nothing can be filmed right now. Like there is going to be, that is going to be one of the other things is, and a lot of the big movies that were scheduled to come out, I think in the spring, they have now said, I can't remember off the top of my head, there's a couple that they've said, we're going to, October or November.
Yeah, there's a James Bond that got pushed back to November.
So there's going to be a few, but generally speaking, there's a new movie, right? A new movie or two every week. They're not being filmed anywhere in the world.
No.
That's the thing. This is not just a California thing. This is not, or a New York thing, or a North American thing. This is a world thing. Mm-hmm. So they're not like filming of anything going on anywhere right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, how is this Tiger King? How are they getting a new episode out? Is this old footage? You made it sound like they're actually filming, which tells you, I was actually looking up yesterday. Do you know where Ozark is actually filmed?
Georgia.
Yeah. So I was thinking, well, there's some strange news lately in Georgia. They won't let them end up filming it, but there has to be a bit of a rush in some of these places and people trying to figure it out. But the Tiger King thing, is this is supposed to be new footage, right?
Yeah, well, he said on the weekend, he said, we're shooting it, and again, I don't remember if the story was from Saturday or Sunday, he said, we're shooting it tomorrow, it'll be out later in the week. One final episode on Netflix if you've watched Tiger King. Was there a big, I've not watched it.
Okay.
Been so much hype about it you know what, I'm kind of stepping away from it right now because I just feel like it couldn't live up to the expectation. Now, my wife and daughter have watched it, but I haven't watched it yet. But I just wonder if they're just trying to cash. Was there a big cliffhanger end to it that where you had a big unanswered question?
No. It didn't feel like that. We were probably about a week ahead where one of those first weekends we decided to watch it. And then the following weeks it became all the rage. It just feels like there would be the ability to continue the characters, because at the end of the day, the one thing I will say is it's real life. For as crazy as it is and for the characters that they somehow found that are real people, I think there's a bit of a draw. And there's also with the cat lady and the continued story of her, I could see where there'd be lots of interest, because as I say, this is real life. This is not Ozark and you're pretending. That's what probably took me a little bit of time to get back into Ozark. It's just, hey, whatever you think, it's crazy. I don't think there's any acting in old Tiger King. This is real Southern United States. Not Southern United States. Hey, it could happen anywhere. But I think that was the draw. So no, I just think you could probably play this out for another couple of years if you wanted to.
I saw something this weekend that brought a smile to my face, and maybe this could be your next series if you haven't seen it yet. And I can't remember if you have or not, but Killing Eve, Sandra Oh.
The new season starts on Sunday, right?
I believe I just got notification of that this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my! And the first two seasons, and I think I want to say 6 or 8 episodes for season 1 and season 2, and they are great.
Really?
They are fantastic. Hang on, the acting in it, the story is wonderful, the characters.
Ellen starts today, by the way, remotely, for people that like Ellen. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire starts on Wednesday on CTV, Celebrity Edition. Grey's Anatomy wraps up Thursday. I get this from the CTV publicity.
Is it? Oh, you got all
here
the updates.
Go. Yeah. Season 3 of Killing Eve debuts on CTV Drama Channel on Sunday.
Okay.
So there you go.
You can watch season 1 and 2 on your good Crave right now.
Yeah, Crave is free for everybody.
Free.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is phenomenal.
Okay. Well, I got a top pilot.
And that's for everybody. That'd be for your wife and your daughters, too, of course.
Yeah, I got a pile of texts in here right now. Let's see. Well, I'll go through them. But,
they want you to watch The Wire, of course.
Yeah, my wife does not want to watch The Wire. I don't know why she's against it, but and that's old school. I mean, Ballers and Billions. I've heard good things about Billions. I've not watched Billions.
Yeah, so. I've been doing The Ballers the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So some pretty good draw. This is The Rock, of course, is a former football player, goes into the agency business. And although at times a little far-fetched on some of the behavior, certainly having worked in sports and covered it, you could relate to it. So, no, I think that's a good draw.
Would my wife, who's not a sports fan, enjoy it? She has an automatic, now she doesn't hate sports, but she has an automatic, anytime I put on anything that's even sort of sports, like last night, I've not watched the O.J. Simpson 5-parter, you know, the one that came out, what, 2-3 years ago?
Oh, really?
It ran on TSN last week.
Yeah.
So I taped them all.
Oh, they're
And
on.
So we ran out last night of, that was it. So I'm like, hey, do you want to watch the O.J. Simpson? And it was just, like, she has this automatic thing where she doesn't want to watch a show where she knows how it's going to end.
Oh, okay.
Or
okay.
She doesn't like the person. Of course, hates O.J. Simpson, as most people do.
No, I can
understand. I don't want to watch O.J. Simpson. I know how it ends, and I know he's a jerk.
Well, right?
And I'm like, well, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Right? I love the original footage of O.J. from when he was playing at USC. Also, so was it social media last week that he was actually talking about the Tiger Lady, how she definitely killed her husband?
Yes,
he actually posted a video saying that this lady is as guilty as they come. I thought, come on, can't get any better than that, that you'd end up doing that. And as far as The Ballers, I don't know if it's a draw, but quite a few scenes that he has the tarps off.
Okay.
So I think for a lot of people, that might be a draw.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a big fan.
You see his shirt off and everything, though. You've seen it once. You've
He's
seen
good,
it a million
though.
Times.
Do you guys like him as an actor? I'm not saying...
Yes.
I can do the... sometimes, as I'm sitting there laying on the couch, I can sometimes the T-shirt rides up a little high. and the gut is kind of hanging out, so that's like half tarps off. Yeah. So same thing, right? With yeah. with the rock,
and you immediately pull it back down and tuck it into your jogging pants.
No, no, no. That's when you do the Bundy. You have the one hand tuckage.
Oh. Right. All right. Welcome back, 7:17, everybody. Steve Lloyd just texted me, and this will be interesting. Pierre Dorion is going to join Lloydy and Graham Creech, Steve Bunda, on In the Box today at 11 o'clock. So look forward to, I think this would be the first time, I believe, that we've heard from the Sens general manager since everything got shut down for the better part of what now? It's been 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Sens have been kind of front and center on the unfortunate side of things as far as having players test positive and now, thankfully, all recover. So there is much to, I know a lot of teams have made, we've seen the NHL sort of tried out a lot of players, kind of a different group of players every week to kind of keep themselves in the news. We've seen various organizations that have made their coaches and general managers available at various times, but I believe this might be the first time we hear from Pierre Dorion, so look forward to hearing from him.
Yeah, and again, not that he can give up a ton of news, but if you want to ask as far as Pinto to Bernard Docker after we had Coach Barry on last week, we know of the news on Tyconic. Would there also, as far as Mr. Zub, who is a free agent defenseman, all but confirmed by Darren Dreger that he was signing with Ottawa, so those are some things, and then I don't think there'll be any indication, but as it relates to Sens, as I'm reading, and there's an article this morning talking to Barry Trotz, actually, and kind of a reset on the Islanders' season, and you think, well, I think the biggest part of Sens' news or future is whether or not they're going to play the rest of the regular season and how that would affect, certainly, their pick to the San Jose pick to the New York Islanders pick.
Right, yeah. And, of course, he won't have any more insight on that than anybody, right?
No.
So, and I think there's probably the mandate has come from Gary Bettman, I would imagine, that, listen, don't even go down that road of if you're going to be doing any media or whatever, don't even be speculating about, if we'll be back, if we're back, when we're back, what form it'll take. I don't think they don't want, especially executives. Yeah. Players, it's a little harder to kind of keep a cap on things, but with executives, coaches, et cetera, I think they just want them to play it closer to the vest. So I think questions about your own team are certainly welcome. And it'd be interesting. I mean, Pierre Dorion is a hockey lifer. He's a guy who lives at the hockey rink. Can you imagine what his life has been like for the last month? I mean, this is a guy who's at a rink every single night, would have been scouting, and a lot of the scouting has been done by he and his staff throughout, no doubt.
Yeah.
But with the NHL team sort of just limping toward the finish line, he would have been out at junior hockey rinks watching playoffs and et cetera. So his life, like everybody's involved directly in the industry, would be completely different.
Yeah, and he's also one hell of a golfer. And if that is taken away from you, no, you're right. Now, for the amateur side, they're fortunate. The timing, the question of how it's going to play out, it feels to me like the longer this goes, feels a little far-fetched that they get the rest of the regular season in, maybe a game or two. Even at that, do you go right to the playoffs? But there's a lot with your amateur staff. That is the nice thing, even as far as the pro staff and some planning. But you can interview players. You can kind of break down a little tape, and you can at least have conversations, but that also would run out pretty quickly, because for most teams, if you have not had your final meetings, which most have not, but whatever your mid-ranking list would look like, it generally doesn't change much anyway, because down the stretch you get young kids that are tired, you get others that have been eliminated, so really it's just more about tweaking. So you're right, it'd be tough for a lot of people as far as what their daily activities would be.
Yeah, and I mean, let's face it, for the Ottawa Senators, it was all about the upcoming draft, right? And at this point, we're still in the early days of April. The draft was scheduled to be at the end of June. Who knows when it's going to end up actually being? But we're, that's still, almost 3 months away. Normally would have met the kids, the top kids at least at the combine, which happens at the end of May. Are you moving all of that up now and doing, Zoom meetings with some of these kids now, or are you just following normal timelines?
Well, again, most of them, I don't know if you're even allowed to meet with them now, if you could even talk to them. So the part that I guess is tough is that you don't want to dream too far. And I'll say this in relation to where a team finishes, and when you have a draft lottery, you never know. And I think about Tim Murray the couple of years in Buffalo where you're excited and thinking, my God, we're going to get McDavid and we're going to get Ekblad. And all of a sudden, not that, Reinhart and Eichel are bad picks, but you probably, if you're sitting there right now, and even from the interviews we had, by the time Todd Lushko had come on, who worked for Mannheim and talked about Stützle, to even our interview with Corey Stillman on Byfield, you just don't want to get too hyped and too excited, right? Because you're sitting there and dreaming, and if we win the draft lottery, we get Lafreniere. But if we don't, we're in the 2-3 spot. imagine rolling into training camp next year with those two players, but that's what you're kind of trying to do. But I guess also setting yourself up, make sure you're thorough and understanding, hey, is there going to be the play into the rest of the regular season? How does that affect the draft lottery and the lottery itself? And let's just really focus on that top 10.
The other part of it would be at this point, I mean, you're sitting at home, you're bored, you throw in however you've taped it, you're watching film or whatever, yeah, it becomes paralysis by analysis, right?
Sure.
It's just you end up watching, and if you're the Sens again, you're going to have two picks at this point, two in the top six at worst, and might even have the top two. But what you can only look at these kids for so long, right?
Oh,
and it's
sure.
like at that point, you're sort of picking them apart and looking for, you know, for things, and it's almost like you should put it away. It's like whatever you're. I was listening to an NFL podcast yesterday. Called Move the Sticks, really good, and it's about the upcoming draft and about players or whatever, and the guys were, Daniel Jeremiah is the host, he's really good, former NFL scout, and he was just talking about the fact, right now I've just looked at these kids for too much, so I just put it away. You get a gut feel on a kid from watching him, you watch a lot of tape, you make your list, and then at this point, because they're not playing anymore, and you know, as far as the NFL draft is concerned, all the they have the Senior Bowl, but they're not allowed to. Obviously, there's no pro days. Your ability to now watch a player even run a 40 is over. None of that is happening anymore.
Yeah,
so there's no reason to really look at anything any further. You're not going to find anything other than trying to pick things apart even further.
Yeah, big time. And it's amazing. And you'll sit there, and way back it used to be in the form of T cards, and then you go to the computer system. But as a head scout or any scout, a general manager, you'll sit there and look at your list and you'll comb through it. But you're right. For the most part, hey, have healthy discussion, but don't move anybody. What is also different in every dynamic of every sport, but especially in the National Football League, the risk-reward component of it must be incredible, right? And not that the measure of athleticism in any different any league, but the conversations they must have about people with shaky backgrounds must be really intriguing, right? Because that's probably an internal decision on every player, every situation of why do some of these guys that should be first-round talent go in the second round? And generally in the National Hockey League, you're not dealing with those same issues.
Yeah. All right. So we look forward to hearing from Pierre Dorion. We'll join Steve Lloyd and Graham Creech, Steve Bunda on In the Box today at 11 o'clock. And Andre Tournier, head coach of the 67s, will be by at around noon to talk about the OHL draft. We'll also be visiting that story later on this morning because James Boyd, the GM of the 67s, will join us at about 8:45 or so. We'll wrap up the draft from the weekend, talk about probably not talk about all 15 players they added, but certainly the two or three at the top of their list. And we're also going to speak with Noel Hoffenmeyer, who signed a pro contract. 67's defenseman signed a pro contract with the American Hockey League Toronto Marlies on the weekend. So we'll look forward to talking to Noel as well. That comes up just after 9:30 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, myself for misreading Steve Lloyd's text to me about his guest list, which was... So everything we talked about for the last 5 minutes about Pierre Dorion coming on the station at 11 o'clock this morning, stand down. That's not happening. No, it is a member of the Ottawa Senators organization whose last name does start with D and O. But it would be Sean Donovan, the director of player development with the team, will join Steve Lloyd and the boys on In the Box at 11 o'clock. We're hoping we put the request in for Pierre Dorion. I'm hoping that'll happen sometime sooner rather than later. But Sean Donovan, of course, who can speak a little bit about player development, but as well about his son, Jorian, who was a first-round draft pick in the OHL draft on the weekend. He will join the boys on In the Box at 11 o'clock. So apologize for getting everybody excited about that. Not that Dono's a huge step down, but not quite the general manager of the team.
No, Dono to Doro. I mean, those things can be mixed up. I've not heard him referenced as that, but hey.
That's what I'm going with.
You go with it. And for Sean Donovan, I think for any looking it up, 1991 would have been drafted by the Ottawa 67s, 93 by the San Jose Sharks. So as a family, it must be incredible to go through this process with your son and to be as high a pick. And the whole process starts and a lot to relate for what I'm sure seems like yesterday, although be it 29 years, a lot of the same people you played with are running the teams, and no, that'll be great to catch up with Donald.
Tim writes, gents, in Simmer's formerly professional opinion and JR's and Hammer's casual observer opinion, will the curtailing of the junior hockey season cause a significant setback to the development of this year's draft class, or not? From Tim.
Zero. When you look at the season, it was. You could probably make an argument, and we'll just take Rossi or Byfield or Stutzla. There was a little bit of time left in the DEL. If Ottawa had gone on a long run, the Ottawa 67th of the Memorial Cup, Rossi's actually got a little time to recoup, get back into the gym. And as far as Byfield, they had played more than enough hockey. It will mean zero. Now, how they prep for next year and when next year starts, I guess you get into a conversation of how long everyone's off. But no, this won't have any effect on development.
Read an article about Alexi Lafreniere's workout, because obviously, team facilities, even junior team facilities, gyms, they're all closed, right? So just read an article regarding the fellow that he trains with. Apparently he's trained since he was 12 years old with the same guy.
Yeah.
But just talked about the fact that as everything was closing down and realizing that the gym he normally would use in the Montreal area was going to close down, he essentially drove a pickup truck over and emptied the place out of every single weight and every single thing he could find. But excuse me, he's training, and like a lot of training that's going on with top level athletes right now, does not involve pushing a lot of weight. It's all about stretching and dynamics and all that other part of it. So when I say he emptied out of weights, I mean he took some, but there's a lot of stuff that, and he's getting sent video every day of things that he can do. But all happening in the garage at his parents' home.
Yeah, it's incredible what you can do now. It has been a shift away as far as training. We used to, back in the day, get in there and start throwing around the bench press, which really did nothing other than try to pump up your chest and probably ruin your shoulders. The training's a lot more fun, but I don't care if you got a trainer. But when you're that young and you're still that motivated, it makes me think about Sidney Crosby. In the year the draft was here, you go down in the old Westin Hotel where we were all staying every morning, and who's down there training? Sidney Crosby. Be with his trainer, and this wasn't about putting on a show or any need. Hey, he was going to be the first pick overall, but for kids that age to be that dedicated, that's incredible. And I'm sure you've heard all the stories, JR, back in the day. That was kind of the Jerome McGinley, right, where they had to make him and tell him to take days off because he was so motivated and always wanted to be in the gym.
We talked about the fact that the TSN is celebrating Masters Week, what was supposed to be Masters Week, by showing the final rounds of some of the greatest Masters of all time, kicking off tonight with Mike Weir's win, first ever win for a Canadian at the Masters in 2003, to which I asked, hey, is that going to be in HD? And Hammer, you mentioned, well, maybe they'll upsize it. They'll use, there is stuff in standard definition that they've kind of through the magic of technology, they can upscale a little bit. The Sunbelt sales rep says Mike Weir's Masters highlights will be in standard def, just like all the successful Leaf playoff highlights.
Oh, wow.
Nice, right?
Aren't those also in black and white?
Yes. Your last Leaf playoff win would have been over Ottawa in 2004 in terms of a series. So a well done jibe right there. Boys, me and eight friends, we're heading tomorrow for Augusta, the ultimate bucket list experience delayed. Thanks for reminding me. That comes from Dwight in Kanata.
Yeah, that hurts. I'm even at the point with some of the golf. I don't even mind if we go back to some of the old Ben Hogan footage, Sam Snead. There was nothing better than those old school tournaments where the crowd went anywhere. It was like a swarm of people. Yeah. Hey, they didn't care about a fairway. They didn't care about anything. And you see these crowds, the old, just as they transitioned from the old black and white to color, I think it was Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, and they've got these incredible crowds at the British Open just following the round and just swarming that final group. I think we're getting pretty close there. I'll go by a little nostalgic sports, yep. a little old footage. No problem with that as well.
No, exactly. The PGA, or at least the stories came out last night that I read, that the PGA is coming out perhaps as soon as today with a revised schedule. Particularly surrounding the majors, and we're going to see the PGA Championship, which was supposed to be held on the May long weekend, will be, I believe, the first tournament that's going to be on the schedule, believe it or not, scheduled for the first weekend in August, which is ironic given the fact that the PGA hated the fact that it was the final major and held in August and wanted to get moved up so it became more relevant. Now it's being moved back to August, and it would arguably, if it actually comes off, would be now the first major, and everybody would be, because I think that's where we're at right now. I don't think we're going to see any sports until probably July at the earliest. Yeah. I don't know when we're going to see sports with spectators. I think that's even further down the road.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back to, I think the first sport we're going to see played, I think, is going to be golf. Yeah. I believe that is the one that kind of lends itself if you're talking about, keeping things the way that the health professionals say we should, in terms of physical distancing and no touch whatsoever. I mean, you can play golf. Anybody that's played golf knows that is the one sport where you can keep, and you're outside, so you can keep yourself far apart. I'll put my money on golf, and so apparently perhaps as soon as today we'll hear about a revised schedule with the PGA Championship happening in the first, and they're going to move it as well, be in San Francisco.
Well, and you also talk about the NBA, and they're talking about going to Vegas and trying to do a playoff. Okay, well, if I'm a golf tournament, and I'd probably want to bring everybody in on a Monday, have everybody tested, but your ability to control the environment where everyone could be out for a week, I think that that makes sense. Also, when they were showing the Masters, or talking about the Masters being played in November, I wonder, first of all, what that would have looked like. I also wanted to look and say, what is the difference in the temperature? And the difference of the temperature would be in and around time in Augusta right now, it's about 25 degrees,
yep.
So 80. November actually drops a little bit, but just down to around 19, so certainly more than acceptable. And that would probably be one of the cutoffs for some of these courses and places of, hey, that's probably the latest you'd want to get it in.
Yeah, and again, to revisit, Donald Trump held a conference call with all the major North American sports commissioners on Saturday, and apparently Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, I don't know if he was speaking on behalf of all the different sports, but said, we think sports can kind of lead everything out of the wilderness, the economic wilderness, I guess, as it were. And certainly in terms of collective good feeling, being able to see sports back and whether there's fans there or not, I think, well, that's a moot point. I think that's down the road, but to see games and give people something else to concentrate on and love, and keep themselves busy with, that's the part that sports may lead. And it would not surprise me if that's the case, if we see actually sports come back in some cases before maybe we see some businesses allowed back to doing what they do.
Yeah, and I guess across of sports to advertising to getting businesses going. And I think the big part to watch in the United States is he had this meeting. I can only imagine of all the glory things that he has in holding a conference call to wield the power over the NFL and all the sports leagues must make him feel incredible. But the one to watch in the United States as we get to the fall will be the NCAA. And what they'll do with the college football and how that will be handled, because that's a big deal. And as we've seen in some of the southern states, it doesn't look like they're exactly listening to a lot of the protocol that's going on. So to me, that's something to follow as well.
Got another text here at 12-1200. Beginning today, the beer store is accepting empties. Can you suggest to your listeners, it'd be a great thing to donate proceeds to charities like the food bank. My contribution from returns is over $20, writes unsigned. Well, I can tell you that the liquor store, the LCBO, announced on the weekend that sales are up substantially. Needless to say, they wouldn't actually give out percentages as far as how much it's increased over what it normally might be. I've seen numbers out of the U.S. that say that liquor sales are up about 40% over what they would normally be. For people are drinking more for whatever reason, right? In some cases, it's to pass the time. In other cases, it's for far less pleasurable things. But that's a great plan right there. And there are a lot of people with a lot of empties that have stacked up over the past month, for sure.
Well, and even with the weed shops closing down, I can report that local weed dealers are seeing an increase in business as well. So get it while you can.
Did you see the lineups on the weekend on Saturday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four blocks.
Now, you can still order it online. By the way, if you're so inclined, you can still order stuff through the Ontario Cannabis Store online. But yeah, you can't they are no longer deemed essential. That came down on Friday. It was construction sites and weed shops were two of the big ones. Hardware stores was the other one that they announced. Yeah, you're no longer deemed to be in essential services. To take a little bit of a serious tack on it. What is the difference if we said weed is legal? What's the difference between weed and alcohol exactly?
That's a good question. Well, the LCBO and the weed is all controlled by the government anyway, is it not?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just funny. I still think, do you guys still think with the weed part of it, it's still not completely socially acceptable to say that you're doing it, even though it's legal? And this must be on when back in the day with prohibition. Well, I'm not really drinking, to me, it still feels like there's people still draw a line between the
two. Sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think, mainly it probably depends on your age as well, right?
Yeah.
If you're younger, there's zero difference to you.
Yeah.
Tell you, going out for our walks, you smell it a little bit more often. And you're not smelling it from people that are on their walks. It's from the people that got their windows cracked open just a little smidge.
Yeah. Tends to linger. Huh?
It tends to hang around.
Yeah, it just kind of hangs there.
You're not getting away with it, teenagers, all right? Let me just warn you, okay?
It's in the cold air, though. When people used to go outside and smoke weed in the cold weather, it's like, man, like just bathe in the stuff. Because they come back in, and first of all, their eyes, and they're a tad on the hungry side. That permeate that smell, although, and I do like the smell of it, but it's, yeah, you're not getting it off you.
All right, we'll take a break, 7:42. Welcome more of your feedback, anything we chat about, text us at 12-1200. You can email us mornings at tsn1200.ca, tweet at us at tsn1200. Pierre Maguire, Noel Hoffenmeyer, James Boyd, Eric Macromella, all on the way as we roll on here from Monday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. This may be the first long weekend, maybe in all of mankind, in which people, there's a lot of people going, you know what? I don't want to take a long weekend. I like being able to busy myself doing stuff. The weekends are tending to be for a lot of people, unless you are working in an essential line of business, tend to be very, very, very long. So I have put together a plan, as I said last hour, the ability of all employees to defer their long weekend so that you can take this weekend, if you want to, take a long weekend when we, quote, return to normal on the other side. I don't know if I've received any backing on this from my cohorts, but that's what I'm putting out there.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility. Depends weather-wise. Yeah, no, I guess those are all options.
When do you want it?
I have no idea.
I think July, because July 1 is, you have to take July 1st. We should. It's Canada Day. We want to celebrate our country.
Yeah.
But sometimes, a lot of times, right, it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So you don't get a long weekend out of it.
So I'm looking
for something to maybe do an extendo Canada Day long weekend. So the ability to defer this long weekend into something that, unless Canada Day is on a Wednesday, any other time. So if it's on a Tuesday, let's say, we can defer this long weekend into that Monday and make it a four-day weekend.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad. You could tell me by May that the old May 2-4 or Victoria, whatever the heck we're celebrating, if I could extend that an extra day, turn that into a Friday, Monday off,
yep,
might be a nice little option as well.
You're in. Okay. All right.
And Canada Day is a Wednesday.
Of course. 2020 sucks. 2020, everybody knows it officially sucks. Okay. This makes it doubly officially sucks. Right there with that. That's the one day
you don't want it on. Boom. There you go.
Yeah. All right. 7:50. I'll say we're gonna do this day in sports history. But I wanted to start off with this is not a this day in sports history. But I did want to make note of, if you're an old school NFL fan, you would be familiar with the name Tom Dempsey for one reason and one reason only. He held the record for the longest field goal in NFL history for a long, long, long time. He died on the weekend from complications from coronavirus down in New Orleans. Set the record way back in 1970 with this kick from 63 yards.
He's tying a 63-yard field goal. Not only will Tom Dempsey hits this one, he's got a very slight wind at his back. He'll set a National Football League record in addition to winning the game. I don't believe this.
It's good! I don't believe it! The field goal attempt was good from 63 yards away!
Now, what's amazing about that, for anybody anybody that knows the story of Tom Dempsey would know this, but if you haven't, he was born without the toes on his right foot and his right hand. And so he kicked with basically a square-toed boot. He had essentially what looks like half a foot, and kicked that field goal right there on November the 8th, 1970, that field goal from 63 yards to allow the Saints to beat the Detroit Lions 19-17 at Tulane Stadium. That record, that 63-yarder, was not matched until 1998 when Jason Elam of the Denver Broncos tied it at Mile High Stadium, of course, where the atmosphere is thinner, allowing the ball to, at most times, fly a little bit further. It was matched in 1998. Sebastian Janikowski also tied the mark in 2011. David Akers in 2012. It was finally broken a 64-yarder in 2013. Anybody know who holds the record? Longest field goal in NFL history, set in 2013.
The Rams kicker, was he around?
No. Okay. You're talking about Greg the Leg?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I have no idea.
Still kicking.
Okay.
For the, now he did this with Denver, I believe, now kicks for the Detroit Lions. Matt Prater is the guy who holds the record for 64-yarder. Anyway, that's not a this day in history, but wanted to make note of Tom Dempsey, who passed away on the weekend.
Well, and you see the footage of the kick itself. Watch it on the weekend, and just incredible. It's like he's standing completely upright. I think he's got about a 4-yarder, and the first thing I think of how his right hammy, how tight that bad boy would have been, and also everything he would have had to overcome to sign up for football and to have the specialized boot. Yeah, absolutely incredible. And if you see the footage of it, the referee or line judge, whoever it is standing right there, he's almost jumping up and down as he gets the arms up, right? Like his excitement of, I don't think it had anything to do with who was winning necessarily. Maybe it was just the recognition of him making that from 63 yards, just how incredible it was.
Yeah, he throws, you're talking about, because back then the goalposts were at the touchdown line, right? At the end. Yeah. So they're in the field of play. So he's standing in the end zone, and you're right, when he throws his hands up to say it's good, he actually takes flight. He was as surprised as anybody else. This was a great quote from Tom Dempsey, by the way. Everybody thought he would play for a long time. He did this as a rookie, by the way. His career ended up petering out after about 3 or 4 seasons because of the celebrity of making the kicks. He said, quote, "Instead of lifting weights, I was lifting too many forks and spoons and knives." And his career came to an end, unfortunately, a little bit sooner than it should have. All right, this day in history. Here we go. In sports history, on this day in 1958... Arnold Palmer won his first of 4 Masters back in the day. And on this date in 2019, only going back 1 year, Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Boston Bruins 6-3 in the season finale for their 62nd regular season win, tying the NHL record held by the Red Wings from 95-96 and 128 points the Lightning had was 4th in NHL history. As we know, of course, that was the final game the Tampa Bay would win because they went on to the playoffs and got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and amazing. If you had watched that regular season in the first period against the Columbus Blue Jackets, first of all, you'd have thought Torts was getting fired and Duchesne and company sucked. They were down, what, 3-0 after the first period?
Yep.
Just terrible. That response and that comeback in that game and the fact that the Tampa Bay Lightning could not grab a hold of that and turn things around, that was a major, major upset.
Celebrating a birthday today in the world of sports, turning a ripe old 50. And I can imagine what he looks like right now. Does anybody remember Oliver Miller? Played for a while with the Toronto Raptors, NBA-er. If you think about Charles Barkley as the round mound of rebound back in the day, Oliver Miller is listed. I just looked up his bio on Basketball Reference at 6'9 and 280.
Ooh.
He was a little bit bigger than 280, but for a guy that size was surprisingly athletic, had a nice touch from the outside. But Oliver Miller turning 50 years old today.
Yeah, a little battle of the weight. Think of the old Houston player, John Hotplate Williams, and that was part of his nickname, was he loved the food a little bit too much.
Yep.
Eventually ate himself out of the league.
Sterling Sharp turns 55 today. Of course, you may remember him from his days catching passes from Brett Favre with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Great receiver back in the day. Of course, his brother was Shannon Sharp, who for a time was a very good football player, not a great broadcaster.
No, but I will say, if we're going to probably guess on their fitness, and I saw one of them on some TV show last week, those guys are jacked. If there's physiques that I would love to have had in a previous lifetime, the Sharp brothers would be high on my list.
Baseball Hall of Famer Bert Blyleven turned 69 today, had 287 career wins with the Twins, the Cleveland, and with the Angels. Amazingly, 287 wins, only had one 20-win season. Was amazingly consistent year after year, between 15 and 19 wins.
Yeah. He played for a while, right?
22 seasons.
22 seasons, wow.
Yeah. And he would be, if you're old enough to remember, as I remember Bert Blyleven from a time certainly in the 1980s, had the unbelievable curveball. The old 12-6, as they say, where it drops off the end of a table. He had one of the most amazing curveballs ever. And a good Dutchman as well, which never makes him a bad thing. All right, hockey birthdays on this day. 31 players played at least one NHL game who were born on this day. We'll start with the late Michel Bunny Larocque. Of course, born in Hull, played for the 67s, went on to a 10-year pro career, mostly with Montreal, but also played with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Bunny Larocque, of course, won a bunch of Stanley Cups, backing up, for the most part, backing up Ken Dryden with the with the Habs back in the late 1970s.
Yeah, and if you were a Montreal Canadiens fan, that's exactly what you thought about, right? And probably not a bad job to have back in the day. Back up to Ken Dryden and playing on those Montreal teams. Now, I don't know what starts Scotty would have thrown you in for. Probably not the easiest ones, but that would have been a nice job. And yeah, one of the better nicknames in professional hockey.
Any idea, and I don't know the answer to this, why he was nicknamed Bunny?
No, actually, no idea. I know that he had moved back to Ottawa and was here locally. And as you said, unfortunately, had gotten cancer and passed away.
Another goalie. You'll be very familiar with this one, celebrating a birthday today on this April the 6th. Olaf Kolzig, 19 seasons in the National Hockey League, all but 8 games played with Washington, ended his career playing those final 8 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning, 719 career games, 303 wins.
Yeah, my first thought of Ole was back in the day. I was dating a girl from Boston, sitting down with her father watching the draft, and Caps are up in the clock, and they draft Ole in the first round. We're talking about, well, you know what? They're going to need some goaltenders for the future. Second round, they draft Byron Defoe. I realize I'm probably going to be on the move at that point.
You're still a player at this stage, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But Ole and Byron became good friends. Ole took the long path. I think one of the few people... born in South Africa, Johannesburg, father of German descent. Oh, what a good man. Ole played a long time for the German national team, long time to get the National Hockey League. In the year we went to the finals, 1998 was the only reason. When you look back to our series against Ottawa, Boston, we should have lost in the first round. Ottawa, not so great. But against Buffalo, man, oh, man, played the best hockey of his career. And this is one of those ones when you look at Ottawa here and legacy players. He wanted to stay in Washington. We'd asked him if he wanted to get traded. He said, nope, I want to be here for life. Well, what was sad was that finally when Washington became relevant, there was no longer a spot for Ole Kolzig. And bitterly, he left to go to Tampa, but is now back working for the Caps and a good, good man.
Couple of super pests born on this day. Travis Moan. Travis Moan, of course, played some with Montreal, but you remember him from the Anaheim Ducks, right? When they beat the Sens in 07, played on the line with, was it Rob Niedermeyer and Sammy Paulson?
I think so. They that bottom six for them was really a big deal, right? With Thornton, and they decided to go old school and truculent, as Brian Burke and Randy Carlyle enjoyed.
Ville Niemenen, part of Calgary's 2004 Stanley Cup finalist team. That guy, he's a Finnish guy. If you want to talk about a guy who looked like the Joker, that guy was the Joker, Ville Niemenen. Man, he was pesty.
Yeah, he was. He was right out of the Rutu. Maybe had watched a lot of Esitikinen back in the day. But no, Ville turned into a nice little career for himself.
A couple of stay-at-home defensemen celebrating birthdays today. Gerald Didick. I was surprised. I certainly knew the name and don't remember much about him other than stay-at-home D-man. Yeah. 932 career NHL games.
Yeah, when I always think of Gerald Didick, for whatever, I hope I'm right, I always think of Chicago Blackhawks. Did he have a little time with your Flames as well?
I don't remember that.
No.
I didn't look at his bio.
No, but long time. Yeah, no, he was, you're right. I think on a lot of those Chicago teams that annually lost to Edmonton or Calgary in the third round of the playoffs.
Ultimate stay-at-home defenseman Hal Gill.
Yeah.
Turns 45 today. 1,108 career games, only 184 points. Of course, won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh in 2009.
Yeah, part of trading him there, and I always tell that story. That was where Cliff Fletcher had his own son on the line, Chuck Fletcher, and telling him that we were having Glenn say there, Slats wants him. If you're not going to step up and give us more for him, then you don't want to see him go to the Rangers. We make the trade. And for Hal Gill, if you followed him, when he came out of Providence College, he was deemed to be a joke. Like, nobody thought he could play. They tucked him in with a decent partner in Ray Bourque, and as they say, the rest is history.
All right, and finally, and we'll play a little trivia here. All right, highest scoring NHLer born on this day to be
named. Are we in write down mode or what are we doing here?
You're going to just say when you think you know.
Okay.
You say stop.
Okay.
Write it down and then I'll finish the clues for everybody else. Hammer, you might have a chance on this one. All right. Here we go. Today's highest scorer born on this day turns 35 today. Was taken in the third round of the 2003 draft by the Buffalo Sabres. Played in the Western Hockey League. Again, stop me when you think you know and write your answer down. Played for 4 NHL teams, but was drafted. Hang on, did I already give this clue?
Yeah,
it was drafted by Buffalo. Yeah, so you
Buffalo
know that.
Buffalo in 2003.
Yeah, all right. 2 of the 4 teams he played on are Canadian.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll keep going for everybody
else.
Well,
I've got what I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. His best season... statistically, was with the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2011, 21 goals and 62 points. Simmer's back in again.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, I was thinking Tyler Myers, but no, we're not going to.
149 NHL games with Ottawa.
I got it.
Including 40 goals. Played his last NHL game in 2017. Hammer?
I don't have
no
it.
Idea.
I'm too busy listening to Simmer. And all
come
of his
on. All right.
Well, I got
the,
it.
No, I'm the good. The good listeners have had time to think about it. Simmer, who is it?
Clark MacArthur.
Clark MacArthur is the correct answer. Turns 35 years old today.
When you went with that and Hammer and have it, I was trying to think of. I thought for sure it was Matt Cook. Right? I thought there had to be a Belleville Bulls tie or something.
I had a chance at it because it was he is relatively, you know, relevant still.
Well, he's still under contract to the Ottawa Senators for now. Is it his contract that's up at the end of this year?
Yeah, I think he and Callahan are up. Gabrick has one more year.
Yeah. So of course, when and if hockey comes back, we got to have a night. Certainly for Clark MacArthur, there's got to be a night for Ryan Callahan, right? Where we relive his great memories with Ottawa.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pierre Dorion drafted him with the Rangers. Wanted him to finish
circle
as an Ottawa Senator.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. A little past 8 o'clock. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. And by the way, if you're celebrating a birthday today, happy birthday! Welcome back. We'll talk some hockey with Pierre McGuire when we return here on TSN 1200.